Field City Administrator, Ben Martig. Good morning, Ben. How you doing?
Good morning. Great, Jeff. How are you?
Good, good. You had a work session last night. I'm looking at the agenda from last night. You had quite a few items there. So is it a productive work session, would you say?
Yeah, it was a very productive work session and very finance-dominated. So
that's what it looks like. So we got to make this exciting for radio now, Ben. So I'm going to leave that one up to you. Let's talk about last night's meeting. First of all, on the regular agenda, you had the annual comprehensive financial report for last year, 2023. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so the city under state law has to have an independent financial audit done. And so Tom Olinger from Abdo, Ike, and Myers was in to speak to present their independent review of our finances with the city audit. Has to be filed by the end of June, and it's really kind of a kickoff to our budget that we'll talk about here in a minute. But their independent review, basically the high-level findings of the audits. We had a clean audit. We ended up in the black overall, and a positive on our budget variances, so we have some carryover funds. To maybe call out a few things, we were about within 2% variance of kind of where we had budgeted on our general operations. So I think that's very solid. And we're continuing to meet all of our benchmarking minimum standard. We're at the higher end of our range of our reserve fund policies that we have in place too. So showed that we're also meeting those. We're slightly above some of our general fund, our general operation reserves now. But it's not excessively high, so we're in a good, strong financial position and generally saw pretty much what we expected with the budget to actual for that. There were some unique things last year that were covered, like we got some additional state money related to public safety aid, where the council mid-year did some accelerated compensation benefits to our police officers to try and retain our officers in a very competitive market. So that caused a little bit of financial just kind of notes. It was all unexpected when we set the budget, but then good to know we got this extra money and then did something with it. And then there are some of the monies that we didn't use from that have to get used for that specific a public safety purpose in the future. So those are noted in the audit. We also took a look at our utility funds, which are strong. We've had a lot of capital projects going on in our wastewater fund. We're ramping up for water plant improvement. We're in construction document phase for a new water plant that we've talked about. And our stormwater fund has had a lot of activity with maintenance of our stormwater ponds, where we've done dredging projects and things to keep those in good shape. And we've also done some studies related to like the dam, potential dam removal and additional flood protections. But the numbers are all healthy within those funds. A little bit of discussion on the overall audit. A small piece of that, though, our liquor store, which has generated some conversation as we look at a new store operation, continues to be profitable. So we talked about that. When you look at some of the metrics like net profit and compared to other cities, and especially based on a percentage of sales, we really pretty much beat all of the benchmarks, which we are not surprised by, because in a small store, we're basically squeezing all of the profit and efficiency that we can out of that operation. But it's certainly undersized. But I think it goes to show, again, it is continuing to contribute. It's making a profit. It's contributing dollars back to the general fund to help reduce some of the tax burden and actually fund some of our education around substance abuse prevention for youth and things too. So we use those dollars to go back for a direct benefit. But we talked a little bit about that. There were some questions related to that operation. But overall, strong financial position that we're in. We're going to apply for excellence, recognition for excellence in our financial reporting that we've typically done. So we expect to get that award again related to our financial management work that's done in our finance department. Additionally, some things that we always take a look at as well is performance metrics, just kind of looking at things like taxes and how do we match up to peers within our communities. And I would say it's more along the lines of what we've talked about in the past. We generally look at cities a little smaller and a little bit bigger, and then the Rice County cities. And our tax rate is high above the norm. So we're at about 57% tax rate back in the comparable data year that we had. compared to 43% tax rate for other communities. But our taxes and our taxes per capita are pretty much online, as well as our debt. It's been increasing, but we've been investing in a lot of major city projects related to some of those debts, but continue to look good there. The one area where when you ask why that tax rate is high, even though our total city taxes, the spending that we do total is on the lower mid-range compared to other peer cities, it's because our tax base in the commercial and industrial area is lighter than our peer communities. So again, I think it highlights the importance to keep that burden down a little bit, continue to find ways to grow our tax base, and that means basically buildings. So expanding the footprint of buildings of our existing businesses or attracting new businesses to the community can help bring that burden down on the residents and the taxpayers within the city. So that's continuing to be a piece that we'll look at. But good to know that we got the got a strong financial report and we're in a good position. But we also don't have excessive dollars, I guess, either to work with. So I think we're in a good spot.
And for our listeners out there, if you'd like to delve deeper into that, they have the information part of the packet from last night. You can go to the website and look up the agenda and download all that and take a look at some of the specifics if you'd like. But we're going to move on. Now that you have that budget, you've looked it over from last year, or the results from last year. 2024 is already in progress, but you have to start working on 2025. And getting informed on some of the projects, some of the where the expenses are coming from was part of that last night, including the 2025. It's hard to 2025 already, but you have the reclamation and overlay projects and various improvements. What was discussed there? What are we looking at for 2025?
Yeah, so we've been in the middle. There were two agenda items before we get into the capital, larger five-year capital plan that we've been working on for projects. And so the 2025 street project that we're looking at, we had some conversations, so we brought that to the agenda for additional discussion. And then we also had some discussion on Wall Street Road. So I'll start first with the 2025 street project that we've got going on. One of the areas we've talked around related to our having a connected pedestrian biking network within the city, there's been a lot of conversation, obviously, related to some of those protected bike lanes and trail routes that we've had, and integrating those incrementally with our projects. And on Washington Street from Woodley Street going south, there's a small segment that currently dead ends. Long term, there's a plan for potential for a development that could connect that roadway through. But we did hear on the street project some concerns from residents about the quiet nature of that dead end area and whether or not that network made sense with this project. And then also when we did the overall city analysis, the intention was is this two-lane bike path would be continuing down Washington Street going north of Woodley into the downtown, which is a fairly recent project. I think it was about 2017 that we did some major improvements to that section. So that's probably going to be very far out in the future whether or not that's completed. So the council had been kind of wrestling with, you know, should we put that in now? Should we wait? Should we evaluate this a little bit more? So in the discussion last evening, there was a discussion basically that street surface is in poor condition. So could we do some temporary maintenance to do some surface improvements on that to improve the surface of that roadway, but take a pause on the overall reconstruction to take a closer look at the bikeway plan to see if that really makes sense, or maybe that ought to modify that to come back for a larger project in the future. They can't act in a work session, but that was the discussion on that one last night related to bringing that back for direction from council to maybe modify that based on what we heard and some of the analysis on that biking network. One other piece on, and I'll pause here, Jeff, on the
okay
for you. The one other piece within that area that we talked about was the Milltowns Trail project too. So there's a 2026 project relating to our bike network for the state trail that's going to eventually connect us to Faribault and to Mankato and then to the north to Bilsby and Red Wing. But at the prior council meeting, there was a amendment to the 2026 Milltowns Trail project where they wanted to look at a trail route alternative in one section. And we talked a little bit about the timing. We actually are in construction documents in a different section of the phase for construction next year. And so Mr. Bennett, our Public Works Director, talked about why that other route wouldn't really work well, and some of the challenges with the design, and so ultimately suggested that we stay the course on the current route, bring it back to the council in July for some modifications to that. But where we did hear some concerns with residents around the proximity of the trail to their home, it's all in the city right-of-way, really planned, but the distance from their house and some concerns raised, looking to see if there are things we could do to mitigate some of those concerns, like extend the trail further out into the street. Maybe we do like a curb extension. Maybe we could do some tree plantings or some shrubs or something related to some concerns rather than doing a route modification. So those were two kind of areas that we kind of probed a little deeper on for council feedback with that.
Now, these are scheduled for 2025. So when do you expect to have final answers on that? Just later on this summer in June, but you go out for bids. You have to approve it by the end of the year, go out for bids in early next year, general plan?
Yeah, so that's generally the schedule. We're going to, because we need formal direction from council, I think we'll come back in July for some adjustments and direction from them on those projects, and then we have finalizing construction documents are coming up on both of those projects, like you said, in bidding for next year.
All right. City Administrator Ben Martig is with us. We're talking about last night's council meeting. You also have, you mentioned the Memorial Park, Wall Street Plaza in Memorial Park. What? I clicked on that and found, this is the first I've heard of that particular thing. Is that it where, by the football?
Yes,
sir. Or the former football field, the pool?
Yeah, sorry to cause confusion on this, Jeff. So the Wall Street Road project that we're doing is going to add a trail connection. So we'll connect the Mayflower neighborhood, and we'll have a bike trail and people to be able to walk. So on the Carlton Arb on Spring Creek Road and Wall Street Road on the corner there, there's planned a small plaza on that corner, which would basically be kind of a resting area. So if people are on the state trail route, might have a bench and some tables and things. What we did, though, which is where it caused your confusion, sometimes it's hard to get a sense of how large, because the council had discussion about, is this too large of a space? Carlton was kind of raising some of those questions with the ARB, too. Mm-hmm. Should it be a little smaller footprint? So our public works staff actually went out and spray painted on the grass in Memorial Park layout of it. So if you see some markings out on the trail on the west entrance of Memorial Pool Park, we marked that out to give them a better sense of scale. So I think they found
that. But that's
that,
not where it's going to be.
No, that's not where it's going to be. Okay. That was just a good prominent location with some safe parking where people could park and go take a look at it with our council to get a sense of how big it is.
All right. I don't feel so bad about being confused now. It's like, what? There's a map, folks, artist rendering of that, and it was difficult for me to make some sense out of that. Let's move on, shall we?
So the short answer on that one, Jeff, though, is I think what, based on feedback of Carlton and the council as well, I think we're gonna be paring back the size of that plaza, and I think they found it very helpful to actually go out and mark it to get a sense of how big it was.
All right. Ben Martig is our guest, city administrator. We're talking about last night's work session, the 5-year capital improvement plan, the CIP. We've talked about this many times through the years, but it continues to evolve because it's almost 2025. What was discussed last night?
Yeah, so Mr. Bennett, our public works director, really went through kind of highlighting some of the more significant capital improvements as well as some equipment needs that we had. So, of course, the 2025 street projects and 26 now getting into some of those. We've already started talking about those, but there was a little bit just kind of, okay, those are in process. They're starting now. Those decisions are already pretty much made on the schedule, so we're going to be looking at the future years after that. We do have a very large water plant project that's going to be coming back that's in the plans. We're in construction document phase. We'll be coming back with updated cost and numbers with that one, and we are still seeking some federal funds. So just drawing attention. I think another big project, which maybe is going to warrant some extra questions, and we did get some feedback from the council last night, was Bridge Square. We're still moving for final construction documents, and our current schedule was planned for constructing that in 2025. And we are seeking state funding to get half of the project cost for the project to be covered by the state of Minnesota. Ultimately, the state didn't pass any capital bonding project that could have included dollars for this project and others across the state of regional significance. But that didn't happen, so that'll potentially happen. There might be a bonding bill in a new budget biennium next year. And so we talked a little bit about that schedule, the cost impact, and again, it's not only the park improvements, but it's the surrounding streets. Over half of the cost is really reconstructing those streets that are also having some problems, and we'll have some infrastructure underneath improved. But the council talked about with, in taking a look at our projects that we've had some larger street projects and capital projects that have driven up our tax levy. And then as we project out over the next years with some assumptions on operating dollars and with the debt that's planned, we're expecting that there could be an average of about 9% tax increases over the next 5 years to be able to accommodate that. And a large part of what drives that are these are big capital projects or equipment needs. We've seen even like our pickup trucks and things go up to 40% increases that we've seen in some cases on some of the cost of our equipment. And some of those include things like fire trucks that can be millions of dollars or large pieces of street projects that are used with that. But back on Bridge Square, that is one project where we talked about, should we shift that, go back and seek state funding again, which would maybe move that from a 2025 project to a 2026 project, and also then shift the debt, which would is basically a year lag, would then push it into 2027 at the earliest of that. Another option that was discussed, possibility, is communities have also had the ability in the past to do local option sales tax, where you could have up to 0.5% sales tax for regional projects. Would require voter approval, but we've talked about some riverfront parks potentially being done. Currently, the state of Minnesota, though, has a moratorium on those sales taxes that are lifted, where they will be considering those back again potentially in 2026. So next legislative session, we expect that this legislature will make some decisions on what they want to do with local sales taxes. That's another wild card on this project that could possibly be put into the mix. But we are continuing to finalize construction documents and get all of the historical review approvals, and to put us in a strong position to be able to do that, we will have to pay off those design costs, but maybe shifting that project back and looking at either the state or sales tax as an alternative. So we'll be coming back. This is really the first blush, the first draft update of the five-year capital plan. For the most part, we shouldn't see huge surprises, because if it's a five-year plan, you're moving up projects that are further out earlier in the schedule. So for the most part, I think it's kind of a refresher in looking at the projects 2 to 3 years out that are larger. Another one that I think was also what I would say is tied in with the audit report and also looking at maintenance needs is the Community Resource Center is owned by the City of Northfield, where 50 North is, and the Community Action Center. And then we have tenants in there for that use, and that was approved by voters many years ago. But that facility has been really aging, and the city at one point had kind of turned it over to the tenants to manage that building and then kind of assess the cost back to them. The city's taken over maintenance of that building in the last couple of years, and there is a lot of deferred maintenance. Locker rooms, bathrooms have been in poor condition. We've had to put a lot of dollars into upgrading, like computer switches that were getting close to failure. So the city did have some reserve dollars that we were using to cover the common spaces to just make some improvements. And we've drawn, in the audit report, we've drawn those reserves down where we really don't have much of any cash reserves left just for that building allocation. So I think some of the discussions that we had with that is we're going to need to address what should our goals be on reserves. And then looking at probably in the capital plan, we're looking at what type of improvements do we need to do. Brief air handling units getting updated, the chillers providing cooling, the floor needing some polishing update that's pretty worn and makes it harder to take care of it. Bathrooms that just need some slight renovations on that. And then within 50 North, some improvements to the pool and some of that, which is the operations of the fitness center have been a shared cost between the users of 50 North and the city have split that 50-50. So that was kind of another big piece coming in up in the next couple of years where we're going to need to address some deferred maintenance in that building. And so that was another one that was discussed quite a bit.
Yeah, it sounds like some fairly spendy items, especially when you talk about the HVAC. And my guess would be, since that building was built right around 2000, late 90s to around 2000.
I think that's right.
It probably shouldn't be too many code issues where you'd have to have renovations. But have you identified costs on this yet?
Yeah, so we've got kind of details of those. they're significant. So like air handling units, 130,000 for a couple of those. The restroom that I talked to, about 60,000. We actually benefit. Another item is a roof is usually scheduled around this time for some improvements. But with the hail damage that we had a couple of years ago, we've had like almost full replacement of all of our roofs in the city buildings that we got through our insurance. It's a cooperative through the League of Minnesota Cities. Those are all getting replaced. So we've got a new roof on that building that's going on, which is a good thing.
And yeah, that's a major expense.
So that one's getting covered by our insurance on that one. But I would say these are chunks of significant costs, mm-hmm. but when you look at the overall city, they're manageable, but you need to do it. You know what I mean? If you want to take care of this building and keep it going, we're going to need to make some of these investments. They aren't huge pieces, but obviously mm-hmm. you don't want to wait to the point of the failure of the HVAC system. A lot of times too, it can be more expensive if you do it in an emergency versus plan for it a little mm-hmm. bit, which people maybe have experienced if they've ever had an air conditioning unit go out. You don't want to be in a point of negotiating or buying when it's 100 degrees outside.
No. So you kind of lose a little leverage there.
Exactly.
All right, Ben, we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us. Much appreciated. And we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good.